This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 330 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and this is my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And we have a fun episode coming up for you today. We are starting a brand new month. It's February 2024, and we're going with another, you know, we always have the themed months. Last month was Cops and Robbers. This month, we're doing one of our old faithfuls. We're going Actor Month. So we have a number of these coming up this year. We pick an actor, an action movie guy. And this is an action movie guy. Right here. We're going to be doing some Bruce Willis movies. Now, today's movie is a movie from 1993 called Striking Distance. Now, listen, there's things I want to ask you guys. First, let's bring in our other guest. Evan is here. He's been here for the past like month. Evan, just say hello to everybody.
I moved in.
You moved in. You're like that guy, you know, when you have that friend who's like, can I sleep on your couch? And then they stay for like 3 weeks when you thought it was a day. That's Evan. But we are okay with it because he's our friend. So he's allowed. Evan, now I do want to ask. Okay, so let me just ask you, Alex.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of this movie before I put it on the schedule?
Okay, so I heard of Striking Distance.
Okay.
But I always remembered it as a straight to DVD movie. Okay. 90s. Like, okay. I don't remember it in the theater.
It came out in the theater, but I mean, I was only 6 years old when this came out, so I don't remember it being in the theater. Now, Evan, here's what I wanted to ask. I had never heard of this movie, okay? When I knew I was doing a Bruce Willis month, I went to his IMDb page and I started going through and picking movies that are action or look like action. And I get to this movie called Striking Distance. I never heard of it, but the poster is a freaking exploding boat. And I was like, there's gotta be action. It's got an exploding boat on it, okay? And Bruce Willis with a hat. Now, we come to find out, in talking with you, you said this was a movie you watched a lot of times growing up. Is that correct?
Yeah, I did. I had it. I owned it. I rented it on VHS. I owned it on VHS. I now own it on DVD. I do not own it on Blu-ray.
I own it on
Blu-ray. I have seen. I know. You should. I actually didn't know it made it to Blu-ray. That's how popular this movie was. I would have bought it on Blu-ray and I went looking for it. It's like, and so, but I don't have the money right now, but I will be probably buying the Blu-ray
because
my brother and I watched this movie often together. It was Bruce Willis. We found it. I did not see it in the theater. I rented it from a place called Eastman. I don't know, a rental store. And
shout out to Eastman.
And I ended up buying it.
True story. Yeah. I bought this at the used bookstore when I added it to the list and they had it there for, it was like $4.99. I was like, yes, got it. So that's how I came to own it on Blu-ray. I thought I was going to have to stream it. Anyway, I'm excited to talk about this. Now, Alex, before we get into it, you know, I'm going to give you some Rotten Tomatoes scores and then we're going to jump right in. Before I do, also, I got to let you know, this was directed by a guy with a great name for action movies. His name is Rowdy Harrington. Okay. His first name is Rowdy, like Roddy Piper, Rowdy Harrington. And he directed an action movie guys classic called Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze. So, little fun fact for you, not to compare these movies, but just letting you know, he directed Roadhouse, which we both quite enjoyed. Now, Rotten Tomato scores, people did not quite enjoy this movie. This has a 20% critic score, okay? And a 35% audience score. So, I mean, besides Evan, who rented it religiously and his brother watched it every week, overall, this doesn't have the best reputation. Now that you've seen it, and before we get into it, do you find these numbers surprising, Alec?
No. No. No, not at all.
Do you
not
find these surprising?
I don't understand. It's a classic to me. So
I have a good feeling about this episode. I do not find these numbers surprising at all. Now that I've seen it. All right, let's get into it. Cause I want to talk about it. As soon as it was over, I was about to call you guys up and say, let's record now. We got to talk about distance. Lead character, Evan, since you love this movie, I'm going to be throwing to you first. Listen to this. Detective Tom Hardy. Played by Bruce Willis. Please let us know. What did you think?
Tom Hardy.
Okay, so just because you enjoy it as a kid doesn't mean you're going to enjoy it as an adult. That's all I've got to say. Okay, so this is definitely, how can you say? I'll probably bring this up in a storyline about the typical Bruce Willis movie at this time where he thinks he knows it all and tries to rewrite as they're filming the movie, and you could definitely tell. The character himself, if you look at the character, it's not a bad character. Like, we actually have a kind of a beginning, and we get dropped in. He's done something against the family, and the cops hate him, but he is a cop, and then his dad dies, and then he's now a boat cop, and he's drunk, and then his name from Field of Dreams? Doesn't like him, that actor. What's his name? I don't know his name. He's from West Wing and stuff like that. And then you get Sarah Jessica Parker, and you get all this stuff. You get the guy from Brooklyn, and you have this arc going. But does Bruce Willis play the part well and draws you out? I would say no. But if I'm just looking at the character, it's kind of interesting. I ended up with a 3. It's not boring to watch. Is it good to watch? No.
Okay. A 3. I like it. I made very valid and fair points. Alex, what do you got?
Oh, man. This character is weird as hell. All right, so this dude was a detective, right? So I was like,
homicide detective,
right? So you're going, wow. I was like, this dude is all right, cool. I'm liking it. I'm loving it. Then they had this awesome car chase. So I said, wow, I said, I'm marking off my Alex checklist of awesomeness. So I'm like, wow, this is pretty good. The minute these dudes started to go into this hill that the cars are flying. I was like, what? Is this like a cartoon movie? Like, they flying, then he hits the bad guy, and then they both jump together. Like Kit was in it. And I was just like, all right. Then it automatically goes to like the courtroom, right? And I was just like, why are we in the courtroom scene all of a sudden? Then I say, he's like, that's not the guy. And then the next scene, he's in a boat. He's a cop in a boat. And I was like, wait a minute, he got demoted? Because he said that this guy was not the guy. You know, it's a funny movie, but the character himself, I enjoyed him for what it was because they remind me of a really like 90s, very not up to the 7 like Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman, but it felt kind of like that, like that with like a mix of 8mm of Nicolas Cage. Like that campy corny cops, because how you go from a detective to a boat cop, I don't get it. And then you got Poindexter from Revenge of the Nerds. That's a cop. I couldn't stop laughing. I gave him a 3. I thought he was a good, I can't definitely not go high, but yeah, Bruce Willis looked like he was like doing some funny acting in a lot of scenes, but
right. Okay, I think you guys have hit the nail on the head here for me. I agree with everything all of you guys said. I think I gave him a 3 because I tried to. Okay, I'm gonna be honest with you. I put this movie on. I was laughing within 10 minutes of it.
Me too.
As soon as the car started doing that jumps, I was like, forget about it. I see what we're working with here. I see Rowdy. I see what you're doing here. Well, there's 2 things that made me laugh, and we haven't gotten to the other one yet. But the character's fine. I agree with Evan. You know, he has an interesting enough story, right? He had a partner who used excessive force. He turned him in, and it happened to be his cousin. So not only do you have these cops who are like, oh, you're a cop who went against another cop, which we know, and we've done all these cop movies, you don't do that.
Yeah.
But he also went against a family member. And
half their family are cops.
Yeah.
Like
his dad was a cop, his uncle's a cop, his cousin's
a cop. Tom Atkins is a cop.
And then his uncle on the other, like another uncle on his mom's side or something, he's a cop. So it's like millions of cops, right? So that's interesting. That's an interesting character thing. Bruce Willis, okay, we've talked about Sleepy Stallone. We've talked about Sleepy Willis here. This guy, anytime it's not action scene, this guy's not trying to act. He's just talking. He's just like doing very weird line delivery. You're right, Alex. It's just like, what are you doing? In any given scene, he's doing it in a way that you would not pick for that. See, like, you need a little intensity, he can give you nothing. You need no intensity, he's going to be a little too loud. Like, what is going on here? The acting is questionable, but the character is fine. I gave him a 3. I did not like the relationship with him and Sarah Jessica Parker. It seemed weird. Like, she's internal affairs, okay? She
has 2 names.
Right. She has 2 names. She's on internal affairs, secretly. He treats her not great. And she's just like, I know you're so good. I'm going to kiss you now. I'm not going home. He's like, go home. She's like, no.
Yeah. Is that not the most awkward scene ever?
That's like it's 90s soft porno.
Imagine like, if it was the other way around, right? Like, it's the girl and she's like, go home. And the guy's like, no. And he closes the door. And she rips like, her shirt off.
But James Bond gets away with it.
Yeah. Different time, I guess.
Sean Connery, there was a lot of questionable.
That's true. It was questionable. Okay, yeah. Three. Because I want to talk about the next part. So, Alex, you get to go first. Now, everyone's treating him kind of bad, but there's one main villain in this movie, okay? And it's kind of a twist. So, if you've never seen this, well, I mean, we do spoilers anyway. Y'all know by now. But it turns out to be Detective Jimmy DeTillo, who's his cousin, who he turned in and he jumped off a bridge in the beginning of the movie, okay? That's ultimately the main villain. Alex, please, I got to hear what you think of this.
You want to talk about a cartoon villain? That's him. This dude is Matt Cartoony. Like, and he still was wearing the same suit in Pristine. Like, he took it to the cleaners. Like, I need this pressed because I'm about to show everybody I'm the bad guy tonight. Like, okay, first of all, isn't he the guy from Eraser with Arnold Schwarzenegger? Yeah. He saves him in the beginning. The mob that he takes the photo
Robert
of.
Robert Pastorelli is the actor.
Yeah. Oh.
He's also in Dances with Wolves. He eats the egg, like, stuff. He dated Glenn Close in real life.
Well, I will just say this. He reminds me of a friend of ours named Ralph.
Oh. He's in Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he is. Yeah, he reminds me of Ralph. Like, okay. And that scene when he reveals himself and he goes, hey there. He's like, Jimmy, no. That scene in the bridge was the worst acting you ever seen Bruce Willis in. When he falls on his knees, he goes, no, Jimmy. He's like, Jimmy, no. And he see Jimmy come out. Anyway, I think the last scene when he reveals himself is so wonky. It is so wonky. It is funny because he has like that thick Italian language.
He's
so
from
it just
New
comes
Jersey.
Out.
But he's supposed to be from Pittsburgh in this movie.
Well, he's from Italy because that dude had me, his thing, it was so funny. But the scene that had me laughing is when he comes out the car with his father and he's all jacked up with blood around his eye. And he's like, what are you going to do, Pop? What you going to do? Yeah, the father's like, I can't do nothing.
He's just running down the field.
I can't. This movie is really funny. Like, it's not supposed to be funny, but it's actually funny. The main look, in terms of the villain, he killed a lot of people. He threw the, you know, the bodies into the river. Like, if we're going to look at it as a villain, I gave him a 5. Yeah. This is why. In all seriousness, I gave him a 5 because he killed all the women in Bruce Willis's life. He killed them all, right? And you go, damn. Throws them in the river and they all wash up. And he's like, they playing games with me because he wants me to find them bodies. And I was like, oh man, that's crazy. It's kind of like a murder mystery type of movie, right? You're like, who's doing it? And it was this dude. It was Jimmy the whole time. So you're like, holy crap. But I think, and they did the boat chase together towards the end. They did the awesome boat chase. So we had to check that off. You had that.
Oh, boat chase.
Yeah, they had the fight on the bridge. So you had a lot of stuff. Like, as a villain, he did everything that you want in a villain, dude. He antagonized Bruce Willis. He killed all his women. He threw him in the water. So I gave him a 5. I was like, why not? I was like, okay. Let's do this. And he sounded funny and he made me laugh. So
there you go. I mean, what more can you ask for?
You can't. I mean, those hills were awesome.
All right, Evan. Yeah, what do you got?
I don't know. Alex made a good case here. I don't know if I need to change my score.
Oh, I love it. This is it. This is it.
So, okay. So I'm just going to say the stupidest thing, but it's so funny. And I don't know how to do it, is when the dad, when his dad, because his dad's a cop, the villain's dad's a cop, who lets him go and then ends up killing Bruce Willis's dad and his brother. And by the way, going to fight and hold, like, that fight scene was so lame. Like, no wonder you shot him. Oh, don't do it. Let me just point this gun at your chest. I can't believe it happened. He finally goes, returning me Tether in, and he says, no, we're not, and he shoots his son, right? And the son plays dead, and the dad finally goes up, and then the guy comes up and shoots him, goes, bulletproof vest! Who's the best cop now? Bulletproof
vest! Who's the best cop?
Whatever. Holy cow, that scene, I'm just going, what? Am I watching this? Is that what you, like, is that what the lines were, and this is, like, the interpretation you went with? And the director just went, sure, this worked out fine, because you're not at all serious at that point. And then, like, it just becomes a little unbelievable in certain aspects of, like, the movie making. But he makes a good, this villain kills a lot of people. He has a purpose when he comes back. It's all focused on Bruce Willis's girls that he's killing and saying, look, you've messed up my life, all this stuff and stuff. I'm just confused. So did he jump off the bridge knowing he was surviving, or did he actually know he was trying to
Yeah, he knew he was going to survive. Yeah.
Because I was that little part, because he said, who knew if I was going to jump off the bridge and survive, like taunting Bruce Willis. And, but, you know, but Bruce Willis in that fight, when he says, come get me in a chair, and he jumps out the window and you get all that. Holy cow. I was dying. I gave it a 3, but, you know, with Alex's points, I might bump it up to a 4. So, you know, watch out. I'll give him a 4.
Whoa.
Well, Alex's trigger didn't work on me. It did not work on me. This guy's the goofiest. I mean, this got to be one of the goofiest villains we've had in the last, I don't know, we've done in a while, because I feel like at least everything we've done so far, first of all, I can't listen to him talk because you're right, Alex. I don't understand what this accent is. It's weird. He sounds like a little kid most of the time. Mm-hmm. Who's the best cop? Tell me who's the best cop. And then Bruce was like, you're the best cop. He's like, come down. And then he's like putting out his hand, like, and he just turns around and jumps. Right. I just started cracking up. I'm like, what was that scene? It was weird. Fakes his death, becomes always was a serial killer, but now he's targeting every woman that Bruce Willis ever met, apparently. Like, one of them, he was his ex-girlfriend. One of them he went to prom with. Another one's like, she worked at the hospital with.
Yeah.
I met her one time. He killed her. I don't know. It was weird. And then at the end, he shows up and reveals himself, which I guessed wrong. I thought it was going to be Tom Sizemore. Like, I'm like, he's definitely the bad guy. It's Tom Sizemore. So they got me with the red herring on that one. Because I was like, I didn't even think twice to think that that guy lived from the beginning of the movie. Because he's just thrown in at that one part. Like, you don't even really see him besides that. So, and then he shows up and he's revealing his plan. He's got everybody handcuffed. He's a serial killer. He uses a little taser. He drives around a remote control cop car. I'm like, what? What is this? He just drives it around the bodies and he plays music. I didn't like him. I gave him a 2. I thought, and I agree. He has a good body count. Don't get me wrong. He's a serial killer. He kills a lot of people. But he's just, I cannot take him seriously. And the fact that he had them all handcuffed and, like, he still lost at the end of the day, that he had such an advantage over everybody. Yeah, his old dad shows up. But, I mean, by that point, he should have just shot him all already. But no, who's the best cop? He's obsessed with being the best cop. I don't even understand. What is his fascination with, I'm the best. You're not the best cop because you're a serial killer. So, you're not the best cop. It's weird.
Well, there was a movie that we did.
Okay.
It had the same plot line called Assassins.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, who's the best assassin?
Oh, that's right. And you know what I gave those guys? A 1.
I'm number one.
At least this guy got a higher score than them. I give him a 2. He was goofy, dude. Every time he talked, I laughed. So I don't think that's the desired effect, but I laughed. Mm-hmm. Okay. Action scenes, Evan.
We got boats chasing. I mean, we got a couple of those. We have a nice long car chase in the beginning. We have Bruce Willis doing a boat chase chasing a car. So you get best of both worlds, and him randomly shooting at him and not really knowing what he dropped in the river and just saying, I'm going to open fire and then I'm going to shoot flares at you and blow up your freaking car. I mean, if we want a cop who's supposedly be doing good and never have to deal with that and somehow gets away with that, mm-hmm. you got a good recipe. Now, does it all look good and you ever go, this is the most amazing action scene? I was thinking at the beginning, I'm like, this has a lot of long car scene. I mean, this is just going and going. And then you had the jumps. And I just thought of, like, are they trying to be the movie Bullet in San Francisco? Is that what we're going for here? But it never comes together. Like, you never once go, this is cool because it looks cool. It's more of, this is cool because it was made in the 90s and it's a fun movie to watch. Like, when Bruce Willis jumps out the window with the chair strapped to his back, yeah, it just had to laugh. I gave it a 3. It's not bad. It's not great, but... I had fun.
Yeah, I think
with
the director said, "Hey, you guys remember Bullet? I want to make the Bullet of Pittsburgh. We're gonna jump down these little hills on this road." All it needed was a sound effect that went like "boing, boing." If it started doing that, I would have turned the movie off.
The driver's not passed out hitting right. The roof because you're like, you see a boom
jumping on trampolines. These cars, it was amazing. All right, Alex, action. What do you got?
I might have to do it. This has a 5 action. Like. Oh, no. This is why it has a lot of stupid action that it's actually really fun. Like, you have the hills, cars with hills. I was like, this makes no damn sense. The cars hit each other, they fly, they do all that flipping and flopping. I was like, you know what? But it had really good car chase scene. I thought that was pretty good. The boat scene was actually really good. Them chasing each other with the boats. I thought that was pretty cool. I like Bruce Willis taking over the boat with 2 bullets and a shotgun. I thought that was actually a pretty decent sequence there.
Why would he take the... I'm confused. Can I ask you that? He takes the bullets out of the gun because you're thinking he's going to keep it dry, but then he comes completely out of the water because he was completely submerged and the bullets are wet. His gun's wet. So what was the point? No,
the bullets wasn't wet. The bullets was in his mouth. He closed his mouth with the red part. So he did this.
You're talking about showing it on a podcast.
He put the two shotgun shells in his mouth and went into the water, and then he took them out and then he loaded them up. So I guess he didn't get them wet. Sure. I don't know.
We'll go with that.
I will go with that logic. But anyway, I thought the movie had enough action for me that I thought it was good. Look, this is 90s action at its finest. When you see cars flipping over on those hills, that is 90s action. I mean, you can put this up against a lot of action.
I can say. Oh, so you're giving it a 5?
No, I mean, I'm giving it a 4. It's a 4. It has great. Not a perfect 5.
Relax.
It's a 4. Yeah, it's a 4.
All right. I will say this is 90s action at its most 90s. I could say that. That's for sure. All right. I'm going to be honest with you. This car chase, it's good. It's actually good until the jumps, because then it goes from good to like funny, like unintentionally funny. If they did not have that, I honestly was like, uh-oh, is this like a secret, like a sleeper movie that I've never seen? Evan watched it 100 times. It must got something good in it. So I'm like, okay, this car chase, I liked it. I actually liked it. I was like, this is awesome. And even with the jumps, I was still at a high level, like right away. And then we get a lot of nothing. No action. The boat scene that you're talking about where he goes on that one boat is okay. It's fine. Then the part that made me laugh again, I busted out. I rewound it. Like, I did reverse to watch it again, was when he shoots the flare at that car. He's just like, it shoots the flare like it's a rocket launcher.
Mm-hmm.
Shoots it in the car. The car blows up. I'm like, what is happening? But I'm laughing. It's funny.
90s cars were very flammable.
I guess so. One little flare with perfect accuracy from a moving boat. Shoots it. Yeah, then they have the last boat chase. I mean, I wouldn't put it as like one of the best boat chases we've seen. But it's not terrible. Like, it's fine. Boat chases are hard to do. Like, they're hard to make look really cool, in my opinion. I don't know why. They just are. I gave it a 3. I'm with Evan. I don't think it's bad. I think it needed a little more and a little less, like, funny. If they played it all straight, I probably would have been a 4, like Alex. But because they keep adding in these parts that, like, they're just making me laugh, I had to deduct a point. So, 4, 3, 3.
I think the best boat scene that we've seen out of 330 episodes is the World Is Not Enough.
Gotta be.
With Pierce Brosnan. It's the best one. Yeah,
it was like fast. 20 it seems minute. There's like a sense of speed with that scene that there's not in all these other ones.
Yeah, you know? I agree. That was the best one.
That was a classic. Plus, he goes on the land with the boat. And that was a bonus points for that when he's scooting across the hard land. Okay, here we go. Meat and potatoes. Storyline. Alex, what do you got?
Okay. So this story, you know, it's a murder mystery, and I was into the movie. I'm not gonna lie, I thought it was. I mean, we could take out all the funny parts, like all the funny dialogues and all that. I thought the movie was decent. I thought it was a good movie. I thought the murder mystery, it got me at the end. Like Nate, I did not know this dude was still alive, so I was like, oh. But then once he opened his mouth, I just started laughing all over the place. But I kind of thought the movie, at the end of the movie, I was like, this is, the storyline was actually pretty good if you really look at it. It was a '90s. Storyline. I thought it did well. I gave it a 3. I thought it was a good storyline.
Oh, fair enough. All right, Evan, what do you got?
Okay, so storyline does not include terrible acting. Storyline does not include stupid one-liners.
Right.
Storyline does not include the action parts. There. Storyline is the story, and I think this is a great story. I thought I was enthralled. You have this serial killer that shows up. Why are we chasing him? Gets there. His dad dies. You have that. Then the serial killer pops up, but they're all certain people. So how is this being connected to Bruce Willis? And you are baffled. I gave it a 5 because as a storyline, you are intrigued the whole entire time. If you just take the meat and potatoes and throw away all the other stuff that try to be mushy veggies, you know what I mean? It doesn't taste good. But if you just look at the core of the storyline, it's actually a pretty good thing. And the fact that I was tricked as when I first watched it, I remember my brother and I were, whoa, he came back. You two were still tricked. And so I think that that has to be justified. So I gave it a perfect score.
Wow. Okay. I gave it a 3. I think it's a good, I think it's a good storyline. You're right, Evan. We do. You have to parse through some things sometimes when you're just talking about the story. For me, though, there's just a lot that doesn't work. I think the very, very kernel of a murder mystery stuff works. You know, like there's the serial killer targeting these people who Bruce Willis knew or was involved with in some way. I like that. I do like the because I mentioned earlier in the character, like the fact that he was partners with his cousin, turned him in, you know, when they were going to trial, and then he's disappeared. Although, well, I have to save that for the, because I'm going to have to come back to this point in the overall. But anyway, then, you know, he fakes his own death. You don't really know that. Like I said, I thought Tom Sizemore. I'm like, he's definitely the one. His dad is helping him. I thought they were both in on it. Turns out they're not in on it. I do think the reveal is a little clunky. And that is the story. That is part of the story, like the way it's written. But either way, I think it's fine. I just think there's a lot of, like, okay, even like a lot of the middle part, I don't really care for. Like, I don't think it's very interesting. Like the stuff with Sarah Jessica Parker when she first comes in, and then, you know, that their whole thing working together, and he's still trying to solve the murder, you know, all this time later. And some of it didn't all the way work. So I gave it a 3. I could see your points, but for me, a mixed bag. Also, this is my first time ever watching it, so I have no, you know, I don't have any past experience with it. Who knows, on rewatches, I might like it better, because I'm not getting rid of this movie. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm not. Sometimes I watch these Blu-rays, I'm like, trade or keep? I'm keeping this, baby. Let me tell you about it. So, all right, let's get to the overall. Evan, what do you got?
Okay, this is where I'm going to not be too happy with the movie. So, Bruce Willis is supposedly really famous at this time because he's a big actor. Mm-hmm. And he gets to the set. He doesn't read the script ahead of time, supposedly. He signs on to movies, whatever, for a paycheck. Then he bosses everyone around and supposedly tells people, I'm going to say these lines. And then the directors and supposedly script writers have to figure out how to make those lines work into this movie. I feel that is definitely true, especially in the middle of this movie. Like, okay, he has a basic story, but some of the lines just don't make sense in what he says, and they have to meet. And you could feel like the tension. Sarah Jessica Parker does not have great chemistry with Bruce Willis, but is trying to have it, and it doesn't. The movie has its flaws, and especially when it comes to script writing of lines. And I don't know who's to blame, the director or the who didn't have control of the movie, because I was reading about it saying that, yeah, he didn't like this making this movie at all because of Bruce Willis, which is, as you continue watching Bruce Willis movies, that's going to be a trend. Walking with Bruce Willis, directors end up saying, never going to do it. Kevin Smith even said that after becoming friends and making whatever that cop-out movie, says, I'm never working with Bruce Willis again, he said. So I gave it a 3. So I knocked down a lot of 2 points for that. But I still think it's good enough to watch as an overhaul, and maybe nostalgia for just watching it a lot as a kid. I have not watched it since I probably bought it on DVD as an adult. So it's been quite a few years.
There you go.
So, but it was fun going down memory lane.
All right. 3. And Alex, what do you got?
Okay. So I gave the movie a 3. I thought it was a good movie. I enjoyed it for what it was. I thought the murder mystery was, I kind of like the whole murder mystery style of films. And I thought this was actually a pretty good one up there. Bruce Willis, I agree with Evan. I felt like at times it looked like this dude just got paid and was like, I'm going to do what I want to do and do whatever I want. Yeah, Sarah Jessica Parker and him had no chemistry at all. It was horrible. And I'm not a big fan of Sarah Jessica Parker.
She stinks.
So.
I don't, yeah, I've never horrible. Seen anything that she's in that I'm like, oh yeah, I really like her in that. I'm not a fan.
Sorry, Hocus Pocus. That's the only thing I can
Hocus
say.
Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, but that's it. Like
Footloose too.
She was in
I've
there?
Never seen Footloose.
Yeah, she's the curly.
Oh, so okay.
She has brown hair.
Well, I like her in Hocus Pocus, but she's like the third girl. You know, she's like off the
yeah,
side.
Brett, was it Brett Miller? Brett Miller. Bette Miller is like the star. But yeah, at the end of everything, I thought it worked out well. Like I said, there was a lot of goofy parts. All over the place. This is mad goofy. And it to me, it took away from watching the movie as much because it was just a lot of stuff you laughing at. But I liked the story. I thought it was really good. So overall, I thought it was a good movie. I would watch it again. I don't know if I'll buy it, but I would watch it again.
Well, I already own it. But
maybe if I upgrade my Blu-ray, I'll send you my DVD.
Awesome.
All right, now, Evan said something earlier that I really constantly was saying when I was watching this movie. And he talked about the Bruce Willis's acting, and he said, is it good? And I was watching this movie, and I was like, is this movie good? No, I don't think it's a good movie. I actually think it's a bad movie. I think there's a lot of problems with it. Yeah, our scoring system can allow us to be, you know, like look at very certain aspects. But as a whole, I think it's bad. The editing is what I was going to reference earlier. You get this, whoever edited this thing was on crack because you get the scene they're in the courtroom. Where's the defendant? He's not here. It's daytime, middle of the day. He's not here. Literally the next shot is middle of the night and they're on a bridge and the dad's like, come down from there. Don't jump. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is jarring. I thought it was a flashback because of the way it's edited because the editing is bad. So on a technical level, there's a lot of bad. The acting is, Bruce Willis's acting is bad. Dennis Farina is pretty good. Tom Sizemore is pretty good. The bad guy is I think it's a horrible performance. However, so I give the movie a 2. I don't think it's a good movie. However, this is going to be firmly lifted into the watchable crap category for me because I liked watching it. Like, I had a fun time. I was entertained. I laughed a lot. I had a lot of chuckles. This reminded me of like Stealth or like The Mummy 2. Like, I don't think these are good. To me, they're not like good movies, but gosh darn it, if I could definitely watch this again or just ask someone, hey, you ever seen Striking Distance? And they say no, and I'd be like, you gotta watch it. It's almost so bad it's good. And for me, you know, I'm gonna give it the 2 for like the quality, but I give it like a 4 for entertainment value because I think it's a very, and Evan, I could see why, although how young were you when you watched? Because this is pretty rated R. Like it's a pretty R-rated movie.
So, oh yeah, I was,
what, it came out in 93?
I was 10.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I was already watching R-rated stuff.
I was already watching The Godfather. Yeah. I was a big film.
Yeah, yeah.
Kid.
I used to watch stuff. I mean, my parents would never have bought it for me, but my grandma used to take me to see everything I wasn't supposed to. So I liked Demolition Man a lot when I was like 8. So, but still, like this is a really R-rated movie. So I thought that was, I kept thinking that in my head. I was laughing. One of Evan's childhood movies. This is like pretty hardcore. There's like serial killers and a sex scene. There's a lot of swearing and violence. So yeah, I think it's not good, but for me, it's going in the watchable crap Hall of Fame. I'm not getting rid of this Blu-ray. I will definitely one day watch this again. But yeah, I think it was pretty rough for the most part. But Pittsburgh Cop, Boat Cops is not ever the like the movie I want to see. But this one was actually entertaining. So total points, Evan, what do you have?
18.
18 out of a 25. Alex?
18.
I'm the low man here, but that's okay. 13 out of a 25 for me. Yeah, I think it's rough. I think it's rough, but I like it. So we got Geostorm all over again. This movie's not good.
Yeah, pretty much.
I enjoy it. It's pretty good. All right, so that is Striking Distance. So do with those reviews what you will. If you've never seen this movie like me and Alex, give it a watch. You might enjoy it. You might hate it. I mean, honestly, you might hate it, but yeah, it was entertaining. So anyway, as far as what we got coming up next week. Now, no guests next week. It's just the boys are back in town, just me and Al. And we're going to be doing a little Star Wars. So we're going to be doing the original Star Wars. And then, Alex, very excited. I don't think you've seen this. I haven't seen this movie. I don't think you've seen this movie. Bruce Willis coming back. Another 90s movie called Last Man Standing, directed by Walter Hill. Have you ever seen this?
Mm-mm.
Okay, and this is another Yojimbo. It's Yojimbo, I believe. It's like another updated version of it. So we're getting a little Last Man Standing from Walter Hill. and Star Wars from George Lucas. That's what we got coming up next week. It's just me and Alex, and then we got guests after that.
Oh, wow. I never seen that. I think they came out with a new thing, right?
Shout Factory just came out with a version of it. I have it in a two-pack with the last Boy Scout.
Oh, wow.
And we already covered that one for Tony Scott, and now we're going to be doing this one.
There you have it. Evan, thank you so much for sitting down for four movies out of the five.
Eight movies, 4 weeks.
Eight movies in 4 weeks. Yeah. That's a lot of work.
And he'll be back. Put a little to be continued at the end of the credits.
Yeah, to be continued. Great job, though. You did a great job breaking down the Jack Ryan's character that you love and these new movies. Hopefully you got to see. Now you know what we go through when we do movies that we love and it stinks. And you're like, oh, man.
Like, why? Dang it, I thought I liked this movie. Yes. I thought this movie was good. What happened?
It was very hard, especially on Hunt for the Red October, because it had this like one line called action. And you're like, damn it.
You can't give it a five.
It can't be a perfect five.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally get it. But again, thank you so much for joining us. Again, you guys want to follow us in our social media accounts. We'll be live every other Monday at Nate's Flix Movie Reviews on his Instagram and Nate's Instagram page, Nate Flix Movie Reviews. And of course, you can check out the following week with him and his friends get together. They talk about films that they saw and things that they want to talk about live with you guys. And of course, you guys can follow us on Geeks and Flicks on Instagram. And of course, our official website, www.geeksandflicks.com. Other than that, I'm your host,
Nate from Nate Flix Reviews.
And I'm his co-host, Alex Figueroa. Thank you so much. And again, Evan, we'll see you on the next time. Awesome. Be awesome to each other. Geek out.